gets to Central Pittsburgh, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Like any new city mayor, Bill Peduto has a whole lot on his plate and room for creative decisions. As he joins us now for his monthly visit, we'll take a look at some of his most recent decisions, from selecting a new police chief to plans for improving pre-K education and developing bike lanes on some of the city's bridges. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. Mayor Peduto, if it's Wednesday, it's not Meet the Press. It's Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
It's Meet the Essential. Yes. I'm doing good. Doing good. It's been a busy week, but I got some bean juice here with me that's keeping me going.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Nothing like a good cup of Java to get the program started. I was at the commemoration of the 40th anniversary of President Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon 2 days ago at Duquesne University. And two women approached me thinking from a distance I look like Chuck Todd. but, of course, I'm not Chuck Todd. You met the real Chuck Todd. How was it hanging with him?
So, yeah, I was nervous as hell. I went there and I was just standing there and walk in the green room. It's, hey, Andrea Mitchell. You know, it's just standing. And he's sitting over in the corner. And I, for one moment, thought, wow, I'm nervous, but that guy's got to be really nervous. Stepping into those big shoes, longest running TV show in American history, and now getting to have it as his own. So, had a brief moment with him. I had a buddy of mine send me a FedEx. He knew a producer at NBC, and somehow it was able to get through. And they hand it to me, and I'm just like, okay, what's in this? And there was a terrible towel. And so I gave it to Chuck on the anniversary of his first show, and he waved it in the studio before it began, and then gave it back to his stage manager, who happens to be a Pittsburgher, whose dad was the director of Public Works, who, you know, was born and raised here. So that Pittsburgh connection was very real and alive in that room that day.
That's what we probably needed to have the Steelers pull it out at the end.
It took a while for that little bit of wind to go from wherever it was around Maryland or the borders of D.C. all the way back to Heinz Field.
Yeah, but at least it seemed to have gotten there. Now, you had all of about two questions directed at you. And as in one of them, you made the case for the universal preschool initiative that you have championed. Pittsburgh is competing with a dozen other cities for federal funds for this. Where do things stand?
Well, the interesting thing is that it's quite different than it was a year ago, and even different than it was back in February. When I got to meet with the president last December, I made this issue number one for Pittsburgh, and it was a very compelling case that I laid out and a couple other mayors in the room laid out, which was, give us the chance. You know, you can go through a battle the next 2 years with Congress. You may or may not get universal pre-K. But if you find a dozen innovative mayors and help to partner with us, we'll get this done. And then you'll have the pilot programs to show to the rest of the country that it can work and that it will help to change the lives of so many people. Every study shows this is the most critical way to breaking cycles of poverty, giving everyone that opportunity to start out the gate equally. And conversation I had with one of the key staff members in the White House about a month afterwards was the president saying, find me 12 innovative mayors. And so the grant proposal idea became nurtured over the spring. And we got the call early summer that the Secretary of Education would be coming to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh was selected of one of 14 cities where he was going to be doing visits. And our focus would be on early childhood. And then we got the call right before that he would be announcing that the grant details had been finalized and that they were going to complete it by the end of the year. So we hurriedly put together a blue ribbon panel of people who've worked in the field that have dedicated their lives to early childhood. The political leadership in order to be able to get this back and the community leaders that could build partnerships that go well beyond this grant. Because if we just get this grant, it's only going to help some of the kids in the city of Pittsburgh. We want to have it so that it is for all, pre-K for all. And in fact, even beyond pre-K, there are those that are advocating prenatal to kindergarten and being able to be a city that it takes care of the most vulnerable and gives the opportunity to children. Combine that on the end with the Pittsburgh Promise, and you create the city of learning. unlike any other city in the world. And so that's the vision. We're now at the phase where the Blue Ribbon Panel is working with the state, because the state will be the agency that will submit the plan to create the Pittsburgh model of how this will work. Who will it affect? Because we don't just want pre-K. I mean, there's some pre-K programs that are basically glorified daycare. We want high quality, and that there's quality and standards that are put in. And fortunately, we have talent in this city that understands this issue as well or better than anywhere else in this country. And that's recognized as well. And so we're going to be leaning on them to put together this application, that it meets all those types of standards, and it becomes the critical part of the puzzle of creating the pre-K for all or prenatal decay that Pittsburgh can actually implement.
The day after your appearance on Meet the Press, the Tribune Review ran a front page story about your frequent travel, and they've been keeping score. They tallied you've spent 44 days away from the city this year. The article didn't seem to be overly critical, but clearly they are calling this into question. What is your response to
that? Yeah, the number they had is not accurate, because what they do is they double dip. They count the days that I had off and the days that I was out under two separate categories, but use the days that I was out of town and out under both. So I have worked 36 weeks as the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. In the 36 weeks that I have worked, I have had 26 days off, which means I work 10 days and I get a day off. I work 10 days and I get a day off. This includes weekends. So for every month I work, I get about 3 days off, including weekends, holidays, everything else. What the Trib tried to do was take then the travel that comes with the job. In fact, if you're going to be a mayor who's trying to make a city back on the global stature, you're going to be somebody who is going to be traveling quite a bit and not sitting in an office all day, or else just not showing up for work. And they tried to make a case that, look at these days that he's been off. If you were to add the days that I was out of Pittsburgh and the days that I've taken off, it still doesn't even come close to if I just had Saturday and Sunday off. And those days that I've been off, they've been meetings that I've had with the president. They've been meetings I've had with the secretary of HUD, which resulted in a $30 million grant for the city. There have been grants totaling several million more from these. I've been parts of panels that have led to discussions. The National League of Cities that we rejoined and I attended their conference is now coming to Pittsburgh for the first time ever in 2016, and bringing 5,000 people. The Green Lane Project and the stuff that we did over in Copenhagen, $250,000 to help create protected bike lanes here. That was part of it. Everything that I have done on travel has had a direct result bringing back something to the people of Pittsburgh. And for the pennies, not even pennies, fractions of pennies, that we have spent in government money, which only accounts for about 1/8 of the travel, because most of the rest is being paid by other organizations, it results in millions in return. And so, you know, I realize that there is a watchdog approach that the media needs to take, but there's also a responsibility of telling the whole story. And I didn't think that that piece did tell the whole story.
I want to get to some of the issues regarding the big news of the choice of a new police chief. But before we do that, let's welcome in a caller who has a question based on a previous show. Albert in Pittsburgh. Albert, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Mayor Peduto.
Thank you. I want to thank the mayor for giving his constituents a chance to talk to him.
Sure, Albert.
Some time ago on this program, you made a statement that there should be no free parking downtown. In my opinion, the decline in retailing downtown is significantly related to the lack of free or low-cost parking. Could you comment on this?
Sure. And I wouldn't disagree with you about that. If we were to create free parking downtown, what we'd create is a rush every morning for the people who work downtown to get that spot so they didn't have to pay. And then they would sit there all day while they're at work, and their car would sit there. And the shops would never see anybody be able to come in, because they would basically just take that spot all day while they worked in their office. The complexion of downtown and the makeup of it is changing drastically. We're seeing basically all C office space now converted into housing. We're seeing old office buildings becoming hotels. And we're basically seeing a overcapacity a true overcapacity and the need for additional office space. We're going to see a very different downtown than what we had in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. The retail and the big box shopping will be out in the suburbs, and we'll never be able to compete with them with their supersized parking lots. And we're certainly not going to destroy the complexion of a dense urban downtown, because it's one of our greatest assets. And as people want to be able to do that type of shopping, they are going to go out. But if they want something unique, something different, something that can draw them in, we're looking all throughout Western Pennsylvania to make downtown Pittsburgh the business district for those types of unique type of shops where they're one of a kind, and then enhancing it with the restaurants, with the nightlife, with the culture, with the offices, with the housing. And what we're going to see in the next 10 years will be very different than what we saw in the past. One other note, Albert, this Christmas, there will be free parking.
Mm. Interesting. And when you talk about the days of the 50s and 60s before the suburban malls came into being and took a lot of the shoppers away from downtown, what was the parking situation in Pittsburgh? I'm assuming it was meters and lots, but what was there free parking then?
I don't know about the rates with it. And I'm assuming that with the meters, it was the same, that nighttime was free and during the daytime it was paid. But you got to remember, it wasn't until the 1950s when David Lawrence was the mayor and they decided to do this great new proposal of this renaissance of a downtown and urban renewal through demolition. And I love David Lawrence. I just disagree 100% with what the philosophies were back in that day. They created the parking authority. They created these parking garages. They created all of this stuff. But they did it all on one mode of transportation, the automobile. And everything that we designed and everything that we planned for our golden triangle was based on the automobile. And today, 21st century cities no longer think that way. They plan and they design based on multimodal, whether it's the automobile, public transit, whether it's people with disabilities, people who walk, or people who use bikes. And they create and model the design and the planning around all of that. That's what we announced this week with the Pro Walk Pro Bike Conference, that we are going to create a complete streets model for our entire downtown that will be the largest contiguous complete streets model in America. And we're going to do it through community process. And we'll have the stakeholders involved, and we'll have open public meetings, and we'll bring in international experts from those little Johnson journeys that I've gone on, and use local talent as well. And what we can create with our downtown, because our downtown is very European. You can walk from one end of it to the other. It just has the American skyscrapers in the middle. Is a model that the rest of the country then can follow.
And Olivia tweets, hello, Mayor. I love seeing more people biking to work, and the new bike racks are lovely. What type of bike do you ride?
I have a Trek, and it's a DS.
And there's obviously a lot of attention being paid to the bike lane situation in Pittsburgh. Your public works department was busy installing bike lanes on Penn Avenue. There are some temporary lane closures, some permanent ones. So going forward on this, what are we going to see happening in terms of a big plan and your vision for Pittsburgh as a biking city?
So through many, many years, you know, they've been around for over a decade now. They have 2,600 members. Bike Pittsburgh has been putting together a vision. They've been going through neighborhoods. They've been going to community meetings. They've been talking with stakeholders. And they basically put out a map of what we could create in an infrastructure that would be not only, and it's not about building bike lanes, it's about building complete streets that are part of all the different modes. And a part of that is the bike, protected bike lanes. What we want to do is basically steal their ideas, use the community process that they've gone through, and enhance upon it through an additional part of community involvement to be able to see a network, a superhighway, if you will, of protected bike lanes in the city that will allow you not to get from one point of town to the other, but from one neighborhood to another neighborhood and connect to the river trails and to be able to get you even further. Now, if you go to Bike Pittsburgh, you can see what they're proposing. Some of it's done. Some of it's shared roads. A lot of the protected bikes, almost all of it, hasn't even been started because we just started in the past 6 months. But just like we have a paving schedule, we'll have a protected bike schedule, and it will happen in the spring, and it will happen in the summer and the fall, and then we'll take the winter off, and then we'll continue to build it, and it will connect the different areas. But on Earth Day next year, we'll unveil a bike share program. We're going to have 50 bike share stations set up throughout the city where 500 bikes will be available to anyone. And those bikes then will be a part in where those locations are in filling out this entire model. So it's, you know, you read some people will post stuff like, why'd you build this one place? This is the worst place you could have. You should have started with, because we built in the idea of how it will connect in the future. And how it will connect in the future is not just for one neighborhood or not just for downtown. It's for all of Pittsburgh, and then connecting it to a trail system as well. And a bike share system that will be implemented next year. There's a lot happening. We're not doing this alone. A lot of people haven't seen protected bike lanes before. It was the first time. And they get upset by it. And I can understand that. But those that go around the world and go around this country know that they've been around for a while. And the cities that stay behind will never be able to be the cities that will lead.
Was there consensus about it from city council? And I ask this because, as I understand it, the Home Rule Charter allows for a 60-day trial of any traffic control changes, and legislation must be submitted to city council within those 60 days for its approval. So how does all that come together in this scenario?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm not sure of the answer of that and what the process has been through Public Works with city council. This certainly isn't something that hasn't been discussed and in the papers and brought up, and that council members would have been made aware of, and working with the council members from each of the districts. I stood there at the cutting of the ribbon that we were doing in Schenley Park with Councilman O'Connor when that was happening. So they've been involved in the process. On the legislative side, though, I'm not sure of where it stands with Public Works and council approvals.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Mayor Bill Peduto. And as we have a few minutes remaining in this segment, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the big news, and that is your choice last week for a new police chief, Cameron McLay, a respected veteran of the Madison, Wisconsin Police Department. We're still getting to know this guy. What led you to choose him?
Combination. It was, we had a lot of good candidates that were presented to us, but what Cam has is a very strong belief and track record in community policing. A student and a teacher of the latest technology in policing and how to implement it. A spotless record, and no matter who we talk to, from community leaders to those within the rank and file to his own chief, of integrity, and the mind of a reformer. Who basically understands that the problems that you see within a bureau can be solved within that bureau if you have the right leadership. He's a cop's cop. He's a SWAT guy. He's a instructor in martial arts, but he's soft-spoken. He's somebody that, in the worst-case scenario, when the worst thing that could happen that would divide a community, I'd feel confident sending to that community to be in a room to talk to people. He has earned the respect of the community leaders in Madison. He has 35 years as a police officer working his way up the chain. And he has a strong belief, I would say a passion toward policing. I think that it can become infectious. We have a lot of work to do to restore morale within the Bureau. There's a lot of good officers who are very excited about this happening. And I think that they're going to be empowered to do a lot of good change. This is a guy who will get down there and will be working with the sergeants and the lieutenants in order to be able to know what's happening on the ground. But at the same time, because it comes from the same thread, it's a guy who is going to be in the neighborhoods listening to people And just like the program that we initiated a month ago of having officers walk a beat patrol in Homewood and in Garfield and in East Liberty, soon you'll be able to see that happening in Carrick and in Banksville and in Sheridan and over in the north side. That type of level of policing is where we need to get to, and this is the guy that can get us there.
You have praised Cameron McLay's approach to community policing. There were police community storefronts about 10 to 12 years ago when you were on city council. Why did that program stop, and what would be different this time?
Well, yeah, we had the COP program that it really didn't work. You know, those officers would have to report each day to Penn Avenue where the command staff was, and then report out to their different zones and then come back. And whenever there was any event that was going on, the Arts Festival or a Steelers game or anything else, they were the ones that were taken out. And unless you have consistency, a program like that can't work. And the moment that you don't have consistency and something goes wrong, then everyone puts the blame directly on that program. McLay has a different approach to the community-oriented policing that is more about building the relationship within the community. It starts with the beat patrol because the officers then have eye contact. And when they have eye contact, they say hello. And the people start to learn the officer's name, and the officer starts to learn the people's name. But it goes even beyond that, too. It's getting involved in the community. So even though we did have a program before, I think what you'll see through McLay will be a program that is more rooted in the grassroots part of a community than just a brick and mortar putting an officer in the neighborhood.
Are you confident that Cameron McLay can tackle the rocky race relations in the city and gain the trust of citizens, particularly in the African-American community, where there is a good amount of distrust of the police?
Yeah. So before we offered him the position, we called community leaders in Wisconsin. We also called his chief, like I said, and got comments back from the rank and file. But within the community, and working through a reporter for a minority newspaper, he had earned the respect. And that comes not by the basis of your race, but by the character of you. I have all confidence that he'll be able to sit not only with the community leaders in the African-American community, but within the people who call places like Homewood in the Hill in Manchester home and be able to earn their respect too. This is a guy who is not flashy. It's not a polished communicator, but he's somebody who people will genuinely trust in when he speaks.
Any concern about his not having been a police chief?
No. He worked his way up into basically what is the assistant chief position that would be in this situation with the captain's rank. He would have run and he would have tried to become the police chief of Madison except for one thing. His daughter had become an officer and he felt it was her turn to be a part of the Madison police force and not have her dad as the chief.
Mayor Bill Peduto joining us in Studio A, covering a wide range of issues. And as always, Mayor, great thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like this. And soon we'll have a fun program coming up.
Yes, something very special planned for next month, and we'll be releasing more details about that as they develop. Thanks again, Mayor Peduto.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, does Pittsburgh's appearance on top 10 lists lead us to turn a blind eye to the city's problems? We'll pose that question to Chris Potter and Joe Wose when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.